Hey guys, welcome back to another recap of AfterBuzz's WGN Underground. We have a special guest in for you, so tune in.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I like that violin, yeah. And I'm like... Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 4 of season 2 of WGN's Underground. And I'm Lena Green, and to my left...
Hey guys, I'm Elena. You can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
What's up, y'all? Y'all can hang out with me at all things at Selly Hangout from Selly Checking In.
Hey guys, I'm Lanisha, and you can check me out at Instagram and Twitter at @Lanisha_33.
Hey guys, and you can check me out at just Lena Green on all social media. So let's get into this because we got a guest from the studios. Can you introduce yourself? We have the lovely, always lovely Ronna Roy.
Hi. Yeah.
So what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, my Twitter and my Instagram is I am Ronna Roy.
Yay. Ronna, I'm really excited, guys. Okay, let's get into it as all the episodes start with Daniel.
Yes. Daniel.
And he has some wisdom to impart on us today.
Yes.
About how fundamental it is to read, especially back in those days. If you could read, you had power, you had knowledge, you were able to eventually find where freedom is. And I think that was so... like important to hear, especially at the top of this episode.
But also how much he felt the weight of it. That reading was, at the same time a curse, because it's like, now I have access to this whole world. Because people say that, like, you can never travel somewhere, but you read a book and it takes you there. And he's like, I'm being taken to all these places, but then it also shows me how small the world is that I'm being chained to.
I think that's what I get from Daniel, though. I just get the dangers of him reading.
Yes.
Like, every time an episode opens, we get how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
And the fact, like, you, when you go somewhere, it's really hard not to read something when you can read. Like, you're just reading signs randomly, not even realizing you're reading them. So imagine having to hide the fact that you can do that.
And then letting other slaves wanting you to teach them to read, that's another scary thing. They're going to want to know. They want your knowledge, too. And you could get in trouble.
Yeah, you could get that. They both could get in trouble. You know, and then
trouble,
trying to
die.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're saying die.
Like,
we're like,
murder.
No, don't read, no. Murder. Yeah, they could lose their lives. Yeah. And then to also, like, we're saying that he may not want to put that burden on them. Like, yeah, at one point it's good to know there's life beyond what you're going through. Yeah. But at the same time, do we want to expose all of us to this? Because we may not ever see, you know, the light, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So Daniel introduced us to a lot of new things, what's going on with them trying to sell the slaves back. And that's interesting. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more of his character now. And I think every episode we're going to unveil
a little more of
who Daniel is and the part that he plays in all this. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I want to get into Elizabeth right now, because in the first season, she was such a wallflower and she was so, you know, fragile and stuff, but not this season. We're seeing a lot more happening with Elizabeth. It starts with her trying to, she's in the sewing group.
Yes.
Which we love this sewing group because they're always talking about stuff that are so relevant to that episode and what's going on and stuff, and she's talking about going, like, helping slaves get free, and this is something that's really important to her, and we're seeing her voice this more. Like,
I think the build up from this season has just exposed itself on tonight's episode,
because
we knew that she was a wallflower in season 1. We knew that she was quiet, and as soon as John died, we knew that it was going to be a transformation.
Even before John died, I think he kind of ushered her into that.
He did, but not to the aspect that we see her character developing now. Like, she still was kind of, you know, back. She was more active and more involved and more willing, but she wasn't as fiery as she is now, and you can tell that she's having conflict within herself. Like, she wants to do the right thing, but you can also see her wanting to take revenge, because I thought that she was going to set the funeral up on fire when they were at when they were having the funeral and she went to the courthouse and stuff. I thought she was just gonna shoot everybody and burn them up, but that's not what happened.
Well, Georgia wasn't gonna let that go down, and the same thing happened in this episode. Like, every time it's in her, that fire is in her, it's ready to come out. And Georgia's always like, girl, chill, just relax for a second, because, you know, there were so many different sides of it. Just like with MLK and Malcolm X, they were on such separate sides of, like, nonviolent, and some people believed that violence was the way, and it was even back then. You know, these guys were like, man, I could see the remnants of, like, the Civil War, of, like, where it sparked, those conversations about war needs to happen in order for this to really change.
Yeah.
So,
right. I mean, George's character was interesting to me tonight as well, because we've always seen her being bold, mm-hmm. so active, taking initiative, mm-hmm. you know, the leader of the pack, really. Mm-hmm. And then tonight, it seems that she struggles with public speaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that. We wouldn't have known that if it wasn't for tonight. So I want to know more about that. Like, I wonder if they'll address it or if it's just going to go over
I feel like they're swapping roles.
Right.
Like, a little bit. They do that a lot in the mm-hmm. show. There's always an antithesis to mm-hmm. everything. They're, like, swapping. They're reversing roles. And it's like, Elizabeth is now becoming the public speaker, the rights, fighting for mm-hmm. rights and stuff.
Yeah, like you said, she's coming out a lot more, coming out of her shell, because she started to pick up Georgia's speech, and then it's like, no, I have some other things to say. You know what I mean? And just kind of came from the heart and just really started to let people have it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then she gets stoned.
Yeah.
Boom! No, I think it was a bottle that hit her in the face. Because then doesn't she go to pick it up at... She was going to throw
it. Oh, that's true. I thought it was a rock.
And I was like, did she throw it at first? Yeah. That's something I would
She was
do.
Ready.
Throw
she was
right
like,
back.
Her reaction was too long for me, because as soon as I got hit, that's it.
It's a wrap.
Well, because she fell.
Well, yeah, this one kind of almost knocked her out. So it wasn't like a little stumble. Oh,
she, like, waited for Georgia to come back from wherever she ran to so that Georgia could stop her. I see Georgia wouldn't have had that. Georgia wouldn't have had that time, because that bottle would have hit me. I would have felt the blood. Okay. So this is what we're doing.
Her speech was so powerful.
It was.
It was.
It built up to, like, mm-hmm. then she was, like, screaming.
The passion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got a lot more comfortable as she continued to speak.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy how you had the people who were against slavery and for slavery mixed in together. So you heard booing and then cheers. And I love how they showed that, because there were people who still weren't for the idea of losing slavery, but they were still mixing in with each other and, you mm-hmm. know, trying to find a way out. And we're also introduced to maybe a possible love interest for Elizabeth Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Lawrence Brothers.
Lucas!
The Lawrence boys. Right. The Lawrence boys came through. And the beard was on the
lips. He was like super handsome.
Like, I was like, who's
that? Yeah, he was like super gorgeous, but I wasn't really happy because...
He was good looking, but...
But, you know, it's too soon for me. Like, I'm...
Yeah, it is too soon.
It is really soon.
And I felt
soon.
Like you could kind of see that... confliction in Elizabeth's face. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, you are attractive, but I just lost my husband.
But you know, funny thing is that grief affects everyone differently. Mm-hmm. And there was that moment where, you know, she went along for the ride and he's like, he's being all like manly, and she, I think
that was the first time we saw her smile,
right? Like, and I feel like mm-hmm. she could see some of John in him.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's her attraction to him. And I think that, I mean, she's human, that need and that want. I don't even think it's a sexual thing. Like, I really think it's this, like, wow, like, he reminds me of that my husband and that fight in him, mm-hmm. and we have this common ground.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens later.
I love...
When mm-hmm. she's mourned a little longer, girl. she's not having it.
Because the thing is, it would be different if he didn't know. This is where he got mm-hmm. me. Because at first I was like, oh, you know, he's cute and everything. This is fun. But then he was like, you know, and your late husband was doing the same thing. And I was like, wait a minute, you know about John? Okay, back up. Like, now that you know that I just lost my husband and you are aware of it and you still
and you
kind of
flirting?
Like,
you throwing shots?
Okay, no, I can't.
I don't think he's flirting. I think he's trying to, like, light that fire in her. And you see around him, she's kind of coming out of her shell more. And I like Lucas. I like a lot of stuff he said. That story
how
he told her.
How do you feel about... Yeah, I was going to say, how do you feel about that story?
That story, I love.
I was like... Because I was in the TV like, oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
I was so invested in the story.
Yeah, no, but I love the ending of that story. How he was like, I don't need a reason to see that. Something is
that
wrong.
That is a good point, though.
I did like
his story. But the way he did it, I was like...
Yeah.
That's a great...
It was beautiful because people don't understand things. Like, how can you say this is right? How do you look at something so horrific and be like, okay, I'm going to turn my head. I'm going to be complicit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn my head.
Mm-hmm. No. And I mean, they're in the... I mean... To a sense, they're saying the same thing, because Elizabeth said that at the top of the episode when they found Rosalie, you know? Mm-hmm. She's like, how could they beat a pregnant woman? Like, mm-hmm. how could they do this? Where do you rationalize that this actually makes sense?
That's, I don't get that, where people rationalize this, I'm doing a good deed. How do you rationalize that at all? Mm-hmm. How do you rationalize that?
Everyone's experiences are different, and I learned that last year during the election, because I had thoughts of, how could you justify this, or how could you be for this or for that? And when I've had conversations with opposing friends, like people who are on opposing sides, I'm asking, how could you do this? And they're asking me, how could I do this? So our the way that we view life, our perspectives are just different. So what's normal to me may not be normal for the next person. So there's like that comfort. There's like an oblivious or a certain kind of lifestyle. And although we may think of it as just violence against slaves and blacks, in their mind they were doing what was right because that's what they were taught.
I don't think you can ever justify with doing something wrong. There's no black and white when it comes to human cruelty.
It's not necessarily justifying it. It's not saying that it's right that they have that perspective, but it's opening the door. Like, we can't say, how can you do this, and act like we don't know that there are some things that I haven't even experienced. So when you ask me, how can I do this, I don't know, because I haven't been there before. Like, I can possibly put myself in those shoes and say, I wouldn't do this, or I'm opposed to this, but I haven't actually lived it.
But I think that was the point of his story, is that you don't need a reason to see that.
Right.
And there isn't a reason. There's no reasoning behind that. And there's a lot of things that have, okay, you have your perspective, I have my perspective, but this is one that doesn't. And it's not okay. And I think that's why he drew you in, to be like, oh, he has a reason too, to make it so sharp to go, yeah, we don't need a reason for this. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. So I think that's the point.
Mm-hmm. I think the awareness of it is a different, like, you know how you grow up, okay, maybe you don't know, because I don't know, but there are some people who grow up and they have, like, these grandparents, and they are now taking on the lifestyle of their grandparents and their parents, right? Mm-hmm. And then, so they've been living a certain way without an awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's different when you don't have an awareness, and then you finally get an awareness. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Well, so there are some people who are...
I can understand it from the point of view of, like you said, they just kind of don't know, or maybe they don't know any better.
Right.
It's not an excuse at all.
I would say this, and we touched upon it a little bit last week about, like, you kind of succumb to your conditions, mm-hmm. like people that didn't want to be a part of this, and then they were around it enough. And there was actually a recent study that was done. They took regular people from corporate America and they put them in a prison, and they made certain people the guards and certain people the prisoners. And they were saying they would never, treat people inhumane. They were just going to do their jobs. And after a while, regular corporate America people were treating the prisoners and beating on them, and then they swapped sides, and the same thing happened again. Mm. And it's just amazing to see human behavior just succumb and be conditioned to the environment that they're put in. And that was the reality of that time. So I there is no justifying it, but I completely understand.
There's no justification. There's no excuse. Yes. It's never going to be, oh my gosh, like, you're completely wrong, but I think it's the perspective shift. And I only bring that up because we're on the opposite side, and we're so far removed from the times, kind of.
I wouldn't say that.
Come on.
I added the kind of.
Yes, please put that asterisk. Right.
which makes his story, because even when we were watching the episode, my brain didn't go deep into it because he had done shut me down with the story. So I was just like, why would he play me like that?
Me too.
I love how he made a point by using this story that impacts your ethos.
Yeah.
But it appeals to you in that way. But then it's not real.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't need something like that to make me feel something.
And no one should need anything.
No one should need. Yeah. You should be able to see something like, that's wrong. As a human, when I say humanity, I always have to do this because... In the past, and just from our history, people have done such inhumane things. This book I'm reading about the roundup in Paris, I'm like, how can people think that was right? And then their justification was like, well, we saw it happening, but we turned our heads, so it really didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Or we didn't know, what could we do?
And that was the thing, too, back in that time, not everyone was strong enough or was brave enough to stand up for the rights of blacks or the slaves at those times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they knew then they would catch it, too. They weren't going to have any mercy just because you're white. But if you want to take up and try to protect the slaves or the blacks at this time, we're going to come for you, too. So I think that made it a little bit harder for people to want to try to fight, or made it easier for them to turn a blind eye to what was going on. And I think to what we were saying earlier, it's not justified, like, at all. But when that's all you are taught, like, you'll see that. And you may not look... You can have a young kid, you know, his father's a slave master. He's growing up to know, like, black people or slaves aren't humans. You know what I mean? We treat them as you know, we own them. That's our ownership. And you grow up not looking at them as people, or looking at us as people. you know, so it doesn't justify it, but like she said, it's kind of how you're brought up.
Oh, we could debate about this all day, guys. Yes.
Right.
I think this is like a separate issue we're going to all talk about. Let's get into talk about Noah, because we see Noah. Now, what did I tell you about Cato? We both had what he was going to do to Noah. And I knew he was going to save him and like treat him good, because they do Cato this. They give him a personality that goes, it could be good or bad.
Let me tell you something about Cato, okay? There's just so many layers to this dude, because yeah. It's like you automatically want to hate him, then you want to like him, then you want to hate him all over again. Then you're like, wait, I don't know what to feel when it comes to this man, because it's one of those things where like you automatically assume that he's just evil because of exactly what Noah's perspective is. Yeah. Like, you were sitting here beating us. You were treating us this particular way, and through the course of seeing his backstory in this episode, yeah. And then seeing why he really came back and what he's really doing, I was like,
it's interesting.
Yeah. Whoa, what's up? Like, so he's taking me on a journey. So shout out to Alano Miller.
But Noah's being tested at this point too.
Oh, for sure.
And we've had our reservations about Noah's character in the past, because we did know he was, I don't want to say using, but basically using the Seven Makings to get out of where he was.
Right.
And so people died.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he feels bad about it, but I'm glad that Cato finally said, like, you used all of us for your own benefit.
Right.
You know, and when he tested them, I didn't think it was right for him to say, hey, you can either free yourself, because that's a hard thing. Like,
yeah.
I'm a hero. I'm going to go out like a hero. I don't care. But that's a hard thing to do when you've been enslaved for so long and you have your freedom. It's so close.
Mm-hmm. I was happy that Noah said no. And not because I don't think that he wasn't trying to be the hero or he didn't want to go out as a hero, more so because I think that with his character, although he did use members of the Making Seven for his own good, I don't think he saw it like that in the beginning. Like, he knew that he was bringing along people because he can get certain things, but I don't really think that he thought through the fact that they were going to die. Like, he knew that he would lose some people, but he didn't intentionally want them to die.
No, not intentionally. No. I don't think so.
So it would be different if he like was like, okay, they're going to come along and he's going to die, whatever, we're good. I think that in the perfect world, he wanted all of them to make it. He wanted all of them to be alive and, you know, everybody go their separate ways. The same way that we saw him when he was in the jail and he tried to bring those other two guys with him so that they can have their own freedom. They died too. From gunshots, you know what I mean? So I think that his intentions are always pretty pure, but the way that he does his plans, which Cato did bring out, the way that he frames his plans is not always thought through for everyone else's sake.
It's for his own good, and it's selfish. And the fact that he said, it's selfish. For, you want to get back to Rosalie, you want to make sure, because he really didn't make sure Rosalie was okay, and it was always helping her and himself. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the fact that Cato brought that out. But what did you think about his answer to why he wanted to say no to not going back into slavery to save the seven
When's
people?
It my turn?
He was like, when is it? What did y'all think about that?
That's so human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so human. I mean, come on, all of us. Like, whether you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, an actor, whatever it is that you're doing, when you see everyone else winning, it's just like, man, like, when do I get to have that big case and go before? And when do I get to, like, it's just human to go there.
It is human.
It's just so
I related to it, because I think that we all kind of play our fair part in society, right? Whether we give to organizations, or we're taking care of our families, or whatever the case may be, we're kind of looking out for, at least, let me talk for myself. I'm looking out for others, right? Because I really don't know if y'all living like Noah or what.
You know what? You know what?
But, so for me, like, you know, I want to make sure that my siblings are okay and my family's okay and my friends are doing well. So I'm thinking about everyone else, and I'm the one making the phone calls to make sure that your mental health is great and like that. So there are points where I'm just like, okay, well, when are you going to call me? Or when are you going to check on me? Or when are you going to see if I'm doing okay? So when Noah came out and was like, when is it my turn?
Yeah.
I related to that on not even a career standard, just
human.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, when am I going to be taken care of?
Even as being a black person in America today, it's like, okay, well, when are you going to put my race first? Or, you know what I mean? Like, when are you going to think about us more?
But I think it's the stigma of being strong, you know?
Yeah.
Shout-outs to Aldis for body for days, right? Body on body.
When he took that shot,
body on body. I mean, I got to talk about body on body. But that's the thing, like, when you're the strong one, you're the one that's always there for everyone else. He's the like the leader, mm-hmm. the one bringing everybody to freedom. And when you become that person, people don't want to check on you because they assume, oh, he's good, she's all right. Uh-huh. Like, mm-hmm. she keeps it together, not knowing. I have that argument with my friends all the time. Like, girl, check on me sometimes. Like, you know, like, yeah. I'm not always as strong as I put out. Mm-hmm. I'm human. I have my weak moments, too. Yeah. Like, he has his weak moments, things he fears, things he doubts. And Noah wants some attention as well. But the strong black man thing is working against him as well. So, oh, Noah.
I know we're going to get into Kato a little bit. Yeah, that's but what we're going to... With Noah and Kato this episode and, like, the feud that we're talking about now, I think the most beautiful part of it is they really complimented each other
they
this
do.
Episode.
They
because
do.
Because after their whole feud, when they separated from mm-hmm. each other, you see them processing what they said to one another. Mm-hmm. Now Kato is here, like, releasing the slaves that he had in, and you have Noah who's confessing that he is selfish and he has done these things, mm-hmm. and I think that... If they can have that real moment within each other, then that relationship could be restored.
I like those things all of America. Them. If we could all do that with each other.
I think we could learn something from this episode yes. of Underground. Like, just them listening to each other.
Yeah.
Come mm-hmm. on.
And being able to talk civilized to yes. each other.
Yeah.
After yes. everything that has happened, all yeah. the history that they have.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. I think that's very powerful. Let's get into talking about Kato now.
Mm.
And we're introduced
hey,
to Kat. Debbie.
Yeah. Girl, come on.
So we see it open up with Kato, and there's kind of a they do a lot of this the back what is it called back mm-hmm. back okay
are flashback? You know
flashback
flashback flashback thank you I was like God I was like when they go back in time when they do flashbacks and we see this relationship that's introduced with Devi and Kato, and we see them meet at a museum and they're so cultured and they're so cultured and it's so beautiful. I love how that's introduced because it shows there was a different side mm-hmm. of what was going on in slavery. There was a different side and there was all this beauty and he was one of the art collectors who mm-hmm. gave to the museum. And it was just interesting seeing it open up with them two talking. This is how they met. It was so cute and you're like, aw. This, and you want to see those soft sides of Kato.
Yeah,
like, this is a good backstory to see those more tender sides of Kato because I'm Team Kato.
Well, let's not get it twisted. He was acting real arrogant.
Yeah, I was gonna let Lena
the
finish
swag was
because
like,
she's talking about.
I'm throwing this money. See this money, girl.
Lena said that he was being all soft. Did you?
I'm
not
talking about the first.
Girl,
the first
he walked nah. in a circle
Swagger
around.
Was on
he
a
walked
trillion.
In a circle around the poster and was just like, and he knew that his whoever it was. His waiter, his butler, whoever it was, he knew that he was going to come say his name. So when Debbie was like...
No. Did y'all notice that when he did that? When he was talking to Debbie, first he talked to her with his good side.
And then yes. he showed
and
her...
And then he would, the way, what he was saying always went with what side. I love that. I was like, wow. Kudos to the director on that.
Yes.
It was like
Sally Richardson.
And the way they went back around and then he showed her both sides.
Yeah. I think the beautiful part, though, is because what I was looking at when he was doing that, I was trying to see if Debbie was going to respond. And she didn't react. Like, she
to his scars.
She didn't react to his scars at all. It was just like, okay, like, what else you got? Like, she was just, she's so unfazed by Kato, mm-hmm. which is why she's interesting, but I'm still trying to figure her out. I need...
When you first did that scene and you saw him, because he was telling us it takes hours for them to put that scar on his face and it's intense.
I saw all of the process of that.
Was it intense?
It's a lot, and it's like, he's there, you know, crazy hours of filming and, you know, the kind of material that they're filming, and then to spend the morning, he's there so early with the makeup artist to get that on, and then at the end of the day, he can't even just go home to bed. He's just, it takes so long to get
to take
everything
it off.
And they did his back too.
And his
I
back.
Saw.
Yeah,
that's a
it
lot,
took a lot
of wow. So yeah, we're
interested. I'm just like, oh.
It's a lot when you do prosthetics. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I almost hyperventilated one time when they did that to me. I was like, oh God, I'm gonna die. I couldn't imagine doing that every day. Yeah, that's crazy.
Gosh.
But no, we get to see the softer side of him when he, you know, has love in his life, and it looks like because we don't want to go jump to them, but it looks like he found someone that he truly loves and that he wants to be with, but then Debbie kind of get him in some trouble.
Did I?
He starts fighting and stuff.
Yeah, but I think that her thought was
being character
was that she was so upset about how he acted in the club and hit someone over the head with a bottle, and it was so violent, and so she saw that side of him and was like, okay, he has this inside of him. He can't deny it because you shouldn't deny all the parts of you. Yeah. So where is the best way to access it? So here is the safest place to access it because you're both willing to do that, and it's monitored. It's safer than you know. And I think that she was always trying to accept him for everything that he was, yeah. and mm-hmm. trying to show him the best way to channel it.
So before I kind of like, are we going to get more Devi at all?
Yeah, I think there's. It's like, there's some couple episodes. It's on IMDb, so you can just see that.
So you got the answer.
It's not a secret. So, there's going to be, more episodes.
And I only ask that because the way that Devi's character was portrayed in this episode, she has a backstory. Like, she has a history. Like, the fact that mm-hmm. she's so unfazed by Kato, the fact mm-hmm. that she's so unfazed by his violence, and I know that she said that her brother was a boxer or whatever the case may be, but she's just like, okay, you have anger, you need to get it out because you're acting like a child in a bar. Let me take you to this spot so that you can have an outlet. Like, so her wisdom is so far beyond what mm-hmm. we've saw, what we've seen. So I will be like really interested in getting to know, you know,
more of like her character. That speech that Devi says when she's like, I'm Indian, British. That's where did, like when you read that speech and wasn't that
that was part of my audition.
Oh wow. And okay.
I literally was like, I never get to audition for stuff like this. It just hit me so hard and was meant so much to me because what I love about this show is it's still so relevant to what's happening today mm-hmm. and you can access it in a different way, obviously, because slavery thankfully doesn't exist now, but it's still very relevant and it's for every minority, and you know, we all feel it, and so what I loved about it is like I felt seen, and I'm mixed, and I just felt seen, and I loved it, and I felt like I related to everyone else's story because of it, and that's what she's trying to say. We're in mm-hmm. this too. I feel it too. I have my side of it. It's different, but I've felt beneath, you know, I've been pushed underneath, and and it was happening. I guess people were feeling like that all over the world. And it was actually, historically, it was in the time of the revolution with India with Britain.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they were ruling India, and so they were treated a certain way if you were Indian, and I was living in England, being a British Indian woman wasn't looked at well, you know, and we were treated different, and we were ruled by white Englishmen, so it was trying to mesh the two worlds, and I loved that. It just meant a lot to me.
When you did that speech, I was like, that's interesting that they did that kind of perspective, because it was like you never get to hear a perspective of someone of a different nationality talking about being enslaved and feeling mm-hmm, like they're not seen right. too. And so it was very...
And I love the writers for adding that mm-hmm. because, you know, I know that I just feel like it made it relevant. It made it today. Like, we are all going right. through
yeah.
this. And
mm-hmm. It unifies it us.
Today, into what's the world today. You know, I'm also Arab. And what's happening in the world today, and with Trump, and with, I'm just going to say it, with what's happening in America and the ban and everything like that, it was horrible. It's and it's horrible mm-hmm. to be looked at as a terrorist every single day. And there's two sides of everything. And I also love Kato's character for that, because there's so many sides to us and people, and it's not just black and white mm-hmm. with everything. So,
You brought up the writers, and I think that I was going to say that my favorite line from Devi tonight was the fact that when she called Kato out, she was like, you know, we're in this bar and I don't see anyone that looks like us. Like, you're trying to fit in. And I think that was what was most relatable, because no matter who you are, you can kind of go somewhere and you look around and you don't see familiar faces. Like, if you were to go into a classroom, you're like, oh, I'm the only Asian in here, or I'm the only one that's Hispanic, or I'm the only black one in here. Like, so when she called that out, because mm-hmm. I was looking around like, yeah, where are the rest of you? Because I know there were more black slave owners or black wealthy people mm-hmm. in that age. And I feel like that, it kind of resonated in my mind the mm-hmm. entire episode.
For me, that scene with you speaks so many volumes about the fact that the world was enslaved, and people are just so ignorant to that. And even myself, it made me want to Google like mm-hmm. Indian history and where you guys were at that time, because the reality is, it's like people ask me all the time, well, how are you Latino and your last name is Chapman? Because my last name should be very, I don't know, Rosario, Rodriguez. And I'm like, But slaves went everywhere. Chapman means I'm black because a slave master gave my family that name. And people don't understand that history. And then just, there's just so many...
Ignorance, so many levels to it.
And that scene is that. It's like, we were all, at some point, all people were like held in captivity or were slaves of some sort. Even, you know, white folks, they were indentured servants. Like, we've all been, that's why it's like, how can we do this to one another when we've all known what it feels like to be put beneath? Yeah. And then the moment you get some power, then you want to do the same to other same, people that's been done to you.
It's a cycle.
You sound like Cato Jr. because he said that tonight, and he brought that up, and it was a great point.
Like, I don't want to skip ahead to that, but yeah, because when we do talk about at the end what Cato says, but I want to focus on Debbie's character more right now. Let's go ahead and, like, how was the audition process when you got that? And the breakdown, did it say Indian?
British Indian,
yeah. Really?
Because actually, everything that I was in as Debbie was not in America. So just to clarify that, it was always a British Indian character.
Oh, they did. Okay,
it's in England.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I guess they travel around and whatever, but she's not in America.
Okay.
I got. I tend to not really look at the description of the character too much. So I saw that it's British Indian and I was like, great. And then I read the script. I read the sides. And I just understood it. So to me, I didn't even feel like I had to work a lot on it because I just understood it straight away. And I was in New York because I live there. And I taped it at my agency. And then got a call a week later that I'd booked it, which was amazing. And when I got on set, Joe was came straight up to me and was very amazing about my audition process. And
he tweeted tonight, he was like, that a lot of women read for this role, but that you simply killed it. It was like,
it was so meant for you.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I went to school with Ronnie and we all thought she was black. We were like, I want a British black girl.
I am also, by the way, I'm very mixed.
It's crazy to hear you say how you got identified with so many different nationalities and you just sometimes want to be heard. Like, because sometimes it's like people look past that. They just want to put you in a box.
Yeah.
They want to say, you're this, you're that, you're that. And it's so beautiful that you got a character that fit you so perfectly.
Yeah, it's really rare to see that. And you know, again, the world is the world and we're all different and we're all, it's all amazing. And for me, it was an amazing opportunity because I was like, wow, this is honestly the first audition where I feel like I don't have to pretend so hard. Like, she's obviously different to me, but I don't have to, I was excited to be seen. And have other people who felt that way be seen. Or related in a different way, even if they're not British Indian or whatever, as I'm sure what this show does. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I love this show. Every character.
Yeah.
Cato put a ring on it. Right?
And after then, that sex scene.
Right, you guys are having all this sex. I'm always, like, curious. Even, like, on Scandal, Kerry Washington has all these sex scenes. I'm like, as an actor, what is that process like? How uncomfortable is it? Is it a closed set?
Yeah.
What are your insecurities? Yeah. Like, talk to me about your process to actually be in such a private moment in public.
Okay, it was my first ever sex scene.
Well, you did an incredible job. I believed it. I was in it.
The editors are amazing, and the director, Sally, is, Sally's a dream, and she took me aside and spoke to me one-on-one and made me feel very comfortable. Alano as well.
It makes a difference.
And it's so funny. We were actually, while we were doing it, I was talking about my boyfriend, and he was talking about his wife, and we're like, I just felt comfortable because we were us. Like, and then we all continue to me talk about my boyfriend and him talk about his wife because we're so passionate about the people that we're with. So it was like, it was nice to have that because it just broke the ice. And then it was one of our first scenes that we did too.
Oh, wow. Broke the ice that way.
That's so awkward.
So awkward.
And he was really nervous too, so that made me feel better as well. And he was pretty amazing about it. It was a closed set. The most awkward. You can't get away from how awkward it is. Like,
Were you fully unclothed?
No, you have like this tape.
The little thing.
You have a tape that goes around.
And that's it.
That's it.
Oh my God.
I know you were saying it was so awkward. It looked beautiful, though. It looked beautiful, like the way they did it. The editors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
But filming might not have looked so beautiful. It was just awkward.
Oh, my God.
You say that, though. Like, the sex scenes are just awkward.
At least you have a horror story, because you hear horror stories... guys getting boners and stuff.
I usually just hear a lot of bad breath, like especially when it's a lot of kissing scenes. They're just like, oh my goodness, and I'm just like, oh really?
Pop a mint in it, please. My goodness.
So funny.
That's interesting. So after that, first day after breaking the ice, how
it made it so much easier because we were like, we just did this really awkward thing together, so now we're besties. And it was actually great because then we just got really close as friends, and he's amazing. He's an amazing person.
Could you relate to some... There's a scene where you're trying to put that fire in him to fight for what you believe in. And you were so into that. You were like, you need to get up there.
I know, I almost got cross-eyed. I wasn't too, I guess.
When you read, like, when you get the script and you're reading this stuff, because you get that moment before you have to go on set where you're like, okay, you've ruminated on it, you got the script beforehand, you're finna go on set, this is your moment and stuff. What was going through your head and stuff? And especially, like...
I don't plan too much, first of all, as an actor, but also Sally was such a dream director.
Yeah.
And she helped me. She's an actress, too, and so she helped me so much in the process of that because it's a different part than anything I've ever had. And so she helped me find the fire, and she's just such an incredible director.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that she was the director that I worked on those scenes with.
Man, that last scene when he just leaves you there, like, Debbie's character, she was ride or die with him.
She was.
How you gonna leave your ride or die chick? Like...
And then throw shade, too.
Oh, she's like, so much shade.
Yeah.
I thought you wanted better.
And he goes, I do.
And just walked away.
I think that's Kato's trick. He tries to hurt people to get them to stop caring about him.
Mm. Hurt people, hurt
including
people.
Including the audience.
Sure. They do that.
You know? And it's like a self-sabotage. And I know plenty of people. I've been in relationships that are like that, you know? And I'm like, I know that you don't mean that. I know it. I know there's something more underneath there, but... You fight and fight and fight, and it's only for them to. Mm-hmm.
Did you use a past relationship to kind of know? Like, I had no one that mean.
I totally have. But I guess I just understood it and then used what
that's all you needed.
Alano is such an amazing actor, and so I was so lucky to work with him because I didn't have to do anything. I literally just reacted off him because he gave me so much.
That's
beautiful.
That's the best when you can just react, like have a human experience and not have to force something that's not going to be there.
It was like a dream working on this show.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So tell us what else you have going on and anything else we could see you coming up in.
Yeah, I'm about to fly to New Mexico, Albuquerque, to shoot for season 4 of The Night Shift on NBC.
Oh, The Night Shift. Nice.
So I'm literally leaving tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were going to New York. I was like,
I'm going to New York for a few days and like dumping my stuff. I live out of a suitcase, so
and some,
let's do it now.
Yeah, some other stuff. You've been on The Fosters. Not The Fosters. No. Switched at Birth.
Switched at Birth, yes. Which is finishing its last season now in the next few weeks. And
that's
I was here before doing Switched at Birth.
That's completely different from Underground.
It's quite the opposite. Yes. Yeah. And I feel so excited to be able to get different roles. And, you know, this, honestly, for me, Underground and this role in Underground is the best thing I've ever done and had the chance to work on. And I feel like, I want to continue working on things that mean that much to me.
That's a really powerful.
I think it's because I think it's just why we all love the show so much. Mm-hmm. Like the same reason why you love being on the show is the same reason we love watching it, because it's just that intense.
Yeah.
Like we're living life right now, and although we may not be in those times, we are we are.
Yeah.
And no matter who you are, no matter where you stand, you can relate to it. You can understand what's happening. You can feel it. And it hits you so hard that you can't ignore it. You can't deny it. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't watch the show, you watch one episode and you want more.
Because there's so many times, like, they'll say something and it just gives me chills because I feel like it relates to today. It relates to the times right now. And it's, like, it's chilling because it's scary.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? That seems so far ago, so long ago.
Yeah.
But then it relates to today.
So I kind of have a question, because just the way that the episode went tonight, with Devi and Kato's relationship, and they were in England, mm-hmm. What time frame of his life is that? Is that...
It was 4 months ago. It said it in the...
Okay, yeah. So I must have missed... That was four months before...
After he got his money, mm-hmm. he fled to London mm-hmm. and changed his identity and became a whole new person mm-hmm. and created this persona, and then...
It's also the idea of freedom. He had freedom.
Yeah.
He moved to a different country, and he had the freedom there, and that's, I think... Where Devi was getting angry at him at the end is like, why would you leave me? Why would you leave this? You are free. Why do you want some? Do you want to be hurt? Do you mm-hmm. want all these things to happen to you? That you're going back to what you were running away from,
right? Mm-hmm. That's why I asked you that, though. Yeah. I asked you that because I wanted to know where your character stood, because we didn't even talk about the fact that his wife and his daughter was brought up. Like, mm-hmm. because we were introduced to Devi this episode. Right. So that was brought up, like, they both were introduced in the same episode. Like, even though his wife and daughter were reintroduced, his new love interest was also introduced. And the fact that he left her the way that he did, we would assume that he was going to his family. But
you know what I mean? He doesn't know where his wife and child are.
He has so much money in the world.
It's funny you did bring that up, because that's who he was looking for in the beginning. And then he meets this new love, and it's like...
Which is why I want to know where she was at, because, you know...
But we saw why he does leave her.
Yeah, he goes back to free slaves.
And I think that's interesting, because we've all had our reservations about Kato. Except me. Yeah, I knew he was a good guy.
I still have reservations. I'm sorry.
I don't know if he's good, but he's.
I think he's on a
mission.
On a road to redemption. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's battling his own demons of everything that he's done. And I think that this is his way of, while he's still on Earth, mm-hmm. to kind of, like, redeem himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also that what they talk about in the other parts of the episode, where people have different ways of doing things. And the intention is the same, mm-hmm. but they come at very different angles. Mm-hmm. And so they actually want the same thing.
Yeah, but like he kind of says, like, towards the end of the episode, like, he knows what this town needs or what this country needs, and, like, kind of needs him, and needs that fire that he kind of brings.
All right, simmer down.
Put a cape on him. Right? Like, they need me. I'm going to save the world.
We have a bat signal.
Like, but I kind of applaud him for taking that, mm-hmm. like, right. mm-hmm. putting that burden on his back and saying, you know what, I'm going to leave all this behind, this freedom, this money, wealth, the love of my life, and do something that's something bigger than me.
Yeah.
It's bigger than me. And that, to me, that's a redeeming quality. She want her man back.
I feel like Debbie's gonna fly into the States and
knock
on his door like, yo, what was up with, what happened?
I know. But that would be crazy, because it's like, she doesn't see, like, she's heard of the bondage of America. Mm-hmm. She hasn't seen it, like, live. And I think if she does do something crazy like that crazy ex-girlfriend that just show up at your door, then she's gonna, like, see why he's the way he is. And maybe...
I think she's aware of it, though. Yeah. Her character's very in tune.
But it's one thing to be aware and be compassionate, mm-hmm. and it's another thing to then see it.
But we don't know what she's seen. Because, this is true. You know, she's still dealing with the fact that she's mixed, and she's in a country that is not yet accepting of her. Mm-hmm. And even when they were in a boxing ring, when I saw Kato's full back, although I know what he's been through, I still had a reaction. Like, mm-hmm, I was still like, when he was getting beat, as much as sometimes I want to say that I dislike him, I still had a reaction like, oh my gosh, I don't want him to get hit like that.
Right.
And when the camera was span to Debbie's reaction, she wasn't worried about the scars that he had, or, like, she was just worried about him staying alive and him getting back up. So for me and her to have different reactions, I'm like, okay, well, what have you been introduced to? Because this is new for me. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing his back like that, we know he's gotten beaten, we know he has scars, but it's still new. And she's just like, okay.
Well, I mean, mm-hmm. she's had sex with him, she's seen him naked, she's seen the scars.
Rubbed all on the scars, you know, accepted the ring.
I love how they introduced her character and gave us a lot of her backstory, though.
Yeah,
We can't see more, and we are going to see more.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving anything away, guys, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But you got any fun facts for us?
I do got a little fun facts. I mean, Raina's mentioned it a lot. Sally Richardson Whitfield directed this episode. She's amazing. And she's actually married to Dondre Whitfield, who's on Queen Sugar. Mm-hmm. And I love them so much. But actually, in 1830, Nicholas Augustine owned 13 slaves. And between him and his family members, they owned 231 slaves. So Cato's character is based on this real life person, Nicholas. Oh. And then at the end, when Noah is speaking to William Steele, played by Chris Chalk, he's actually on Gotham. And William Steele is a Pennsylvania anti-slavery society. He's part of that. Okay. And he was a conductor of the Underground Railroad. So these are actual real people. So that's really dope. Yeah. Oh.
I do love that about the show, that they incorporate real people into the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's get into some predictions.
Yeah. Ooh.
Where's my music? Where's my music? I won't do anything without it.
I'm just excited that Noah and Rosalie are going to be reunited.
Ooh. You cheated.
No, it's in the preview.
Exactly.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm excited about that. But so my prediction will be she's strong. I believe her baby is going to survive. And then they are going to move forward with, because she looks like she's probably far along, that she should be having that baby soon. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they're probably, so I was still going to be a fight and a struggle, but they would be together and be able to raise their family together. Yeah. So we'll see that hopefully throughout the season. But next episode, we'll just see that she's okay, baby's okay, and they're reunited.
Wowzers. Well, my predictions are that Elizabeth is going to join forces with this little bromance, but really kind of romance. They're going to join. They're going to join forces, her and Lucas, and she's actually going to become a fighter.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to be out in the streets. She's going to be getting her hands dirty, rolling up her sleeves. Like, Elizabeth is about to go ham.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
You know what? Your prediction just made me think of something so fun. So, while Elizabeth's out there fighting and being who she's going to become, I see her kind of going tit for tat with, what's the slave catcher's name with the red hair?
Patty.
Patty. I see Elizabeth and Patty kind of going head to head.
Ooh, that would be good.
Which would be just so fun because it's like this, you know. Mm-hmm. It is fun.
Mm-hmm. You have a prediction, Rana?
Oh, I can't do that. Although, I don't really know. I'm watching it with you guys. Like, I don't know what the story is.
Give us something, Debbie. What is she going to do?
Oh, she travels in time. She comes to 2017. The whole show changes.
That's what
I predict.
It's going down.
I predict that Rosalie is going to lose the baby. She took a bad beating, guys.
She did.
And we didn't talk a lot about Rosalie, but she was out of it. She's going to be out for a while.
She really took a bad beating.
Was this her maternity? Is she going to be out for a minute because she was on maternity leave? Did she have the baby after the show?
She
had
a baby already, okay, because my filming... Fun fact. my filming actually got postponed because they had to shoot all of her episodes out before she had the baby. She had the baby 2 weeks. I never actually met her, so I'm talking like I know her so well, but I don't. But I've heard such amazing things about her, and she was so strong filming right until 2 weeks before she gave birth. And, you know, so.
Yeah. Go ahead, girl.
That's crazy. Yeah, I think she's going to lose the baby. Yeah, because you can't take a beating like that and just...
It's Rosalie, though.
I feel like it would have happened. Like, the doctor came to visit, and the baby was still there.
I'm hopeful. It's going to be hard for her to lead a lot of people out of slavery with the baby, because she's going to be so worried about her child. So I think it might be...
I refuse to let your prediction make me think
that. Oh, God. It's just a prediction. I'm not saying I don't know anything.
She's over it. She's like, no.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. And you can find me at Justlina Green on all social media.
You can follow me on all social platforms at @Hey_It's_Lay.
You can hang out with me at Sully Hangout. And make sure you follow me on Twitter so you can see the list of all the music from the show tonight.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter, @Lenisha_33. And
I'm Rana Roy. I am Rana Roy is my Twitter and Instagram.
You are Rana Roy. Thanks, guys, for tuning in with us. Did anybody ever find out why they spelled the knocked out like that?
No, I was going to try to Google it, but I didn't find anything.
I was...
Rana's like batting her eyebrows like, come on, Rana.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.